For giving me the possibility and the opportunity to talk about our research here. And this research is only possible because we in Crop Sciences collaborate with our colleagues in agricultural engineering at the University of Illinois. And we are trying to figure out new systems, new high throughput systems to determine the complexity of root systems. I think what we already discussed today in the previous talks is that there is a tight relationship between the vegetative and generative growth as a function of the of a functional and efficient root system even though this is so important, I think we recognize that there are not that many studies yet that really try to work on this this topic, because I think there are, even though there, we know about this tight relationship, we do not know how this relationship is actually worked out or functioned. And One important thing is, and I guess we recognize this in the earlier studies, that root systems are highly heterogeneous, specifically if we want to study them in their natural environment, that is, under field conditions. And we observe there a high heterogeneity between between plants within a row of the same genotype and between genotypes. And the question is, how can we capture, or how can we deal with this heterogeneity? And there are studies conducted that try to look at indirect measures of root complexity. For example, in Missouri, people develop the root pulling technique, but it was shown that these indirect measures characteristics explain only part of the phenotypic variation that we see for root architecture. So we want to. In our study, we focus on root complexity, and how do we define complexity? And this is a definition by Sala. He is actually an architect, and he defines complexity as the property of a real-world system, like a root system, that is manifested in the inability of any one formalism or any one trait to capture actually all its properties. So if this is the case, then what can we do? How do we capture this complexity of a root system most efficiently? And we deal with two assumptions. One assumption is that a complex root system is characterized by a high number of branching points. And I think it's intuitively correct if we assume that a root with a lot of branching points like this root here has an increased probability of finding adequate resources in the soil. However, how do we count the number of branching points given the complexity of a root system? Here we use the concept of fractal dimensions. Fractal dimensions will be a proxy that help us to determine, or that help us to somewhat estimate the number of branching points a root system shows. And this is a very nice concept, because one of the key features is that it's based on self-similarity, and that indicates that a small part of the structure resembles the whole part of the structure. And if we go into the field, recover roots, we don't see the whole root structure, we only see part of it. And if we can make inferences, it's based on the fractal dimensionality of the root system to the complete root system, then this is perfect. And Mandelbrot actually, he pointed out that fractal geometry might be more suitable to describe and study complex natural objects than Euclidean geometry. The question is, are root systems fractals? How do we determine the fractal dimensionality of a root system? For this, we use the box counting method. So we take images of roots, and the 2D images of a root system are overlaid with grids And these grids are characterized by decreasing box sizes. And for each grid, we determine two characteristics. One is S, the side length of the grid, and N, the number of squares that are intersected by this 2D image, like in this case, 21 for this specific size. Then we regress the log of S and N with each other and a slope. If roots are self-similar, then we see the slope here. We see this linear, this line, and the slope of this line is actually an indication of the complexity of the structure that we imaged, or in our case, of the fractal dimensions. And fractal dimension in the 2D case, in the two-dimensional case, varies between 1 for a straight line and 2 for a plane. In order to study whether there is a genetic basis for this in corn, we first looked into seedlings, and we took images of seedlings 6 days after germination and 12 days after germination, and analyzed this. And we, these are the seedlings after 6 days. These are the seedlings after 12 days for the same recombinant embed line. And as germplasm, we use the recombinant embed lines of the IBM population. This is a cross between two maize inbred lines that are structurally and architecturally very different, and we use this as a resource. Next to our fractal dimensions, we also determined conventional root characteristics. The statistical analysis showed that in this germplasm, in this population, we see a significant genotypic variation for fractal dimensions, for root complexity measured by fractal dimensions, and the heritabilities were 0.6, 0.7, so they were quite high in the range of grain yield in corn. So even though it's highly quantitative, and we identified for our fractal dimension 1 at time point 1 and fractal dimension at time point 2 a large number of QTL that were located on most of the 10 chromosomes of corn. I want to make two points here. One point is that if you have a look at these bars here on the side of these chromosomes, these were studies where people looked into root characteristics, architectural root characteristics, and located QTL in these regions. And all of these regions that were previously identified as carrying genes for root architecture were also tagged with our QTL that we identified for fractal dimensions. The second point is that for most of the root mutants that are known in corn, we also identified in their region, in their location in the maize genome, also QTL for fractal dimensionality. Besides this, we identified plenty of other QTL that explain between 40% and 50% of the genotypic variation for this trait in this population. However, as I mentioned, corn, roots are 3D objects, and they grow in the field, not in the greenhouse. And the question is it possible to apply our concept, to roots that we recover from the field? We developed a system that allows us to harvest roots, to prepare them for root imaging. We developed this imaging box here. We have two cameras, the root is rotating. After the root is placed in the box, the root rotates, and we take four images of each root and one above image. So in total, we have five images of each of these root systems. In an experiment, we went back to the population of the recombinant embed lines of the IBM population, and we grew these in two environments, and we recovered for each genotype 15 roots. This amounts to about 6,000 different roots times 5, so these are 30,000 images that we had to work on. We determined for each of these images the fractal dimensionality. We did an analysis of variance and then subjected the phenotypic data to a QTL analysis. These are some of the images that we obtained. This is an image from above. And after image processing, we obtained this grayscale image, and this is used for determining the fractal dimensions of this root system, and this is, in this case, 1.84. This is the side view of the same root. After processing, we get this image, and the fractal dimension is 1.83. This is another root system, less intricate, fractal dimension of 1.57. The side view of the same root, after processing, we obtain this image with a fractal dimension of 1.64. We were able to show that there is a genotypic variation for each of these fractal dimensions obtained for each of the views. And the most important thing is, if roots are fractals, then the fractal dimensions of these different side views should be correlated with each other. And they are indeed correlated with each other. And we also find high correlations between the above view and the side view. And the heritabilities are relatively high for a complicated trait that is as complex as this with 0.56. I want to jump over this. We also use then this data to conduct a QTL analysis, and we identified again a large number of QTL based on the high amount of genotypic variation that is explained by these characteristics. And some of these regions were also identified looking at the seedling stage. So we rediscovered these in this in the adult stage, and we also found QTL in the regions of the primary seed, primary root mutants. So, if I want to conclude, we identified, you know, genotypic variation for fractal dimensions in root populations. We identified these regions that carry partly candidate genes that we in a follow-up actually study, and how these, you know, mutants are affecting root complexity. However, there are so many other QTL that we identified that we have no idea yet what the genetic basis of these QTL is, so that we have to a lot of work ahead of us in order to determine their genetic basis. I want to quickly show that the nice feature of having images is that you can go back to these images to extract new pieces of information. In this case, it's possible to determine the root angle using an algorithm that can go through the 30,000 images overnight and provides you with estimates of the root angles. And for these root angles in our population, we see significant genotypic variation, and our parents, as I already mentioned, are significantly different for root angle that we picked up here. And we identified, again, a large number of QTL that are backed up by known mutants in some of these QTL regions. We are using Fourier transcriptors to determine the fine structure of the parameter of root systems in order to use this information as a classification system for roots. And we did this, and we were able to classify or to find different classes of roots that have a different fine structure. And I mentioned that roots are 3D objects. Therefore, I think it's important to actually picture the roots as 3D objects. And this is the newest thing in our laboratory, where we use laser sheets to find 3D representations of roots. And we will see whether we can extract new information out of these images. I want to say thank you to Jan Wilhelm Hofstede from the Wageningen University, who is tightly collaborating with Tom Grift and me, Luis Verde from Pioneer. And then these are the students that actually did all the hard work: Joanna Novais, Taylor Becker, Ricardo Fonseca, and an egg engineer. And there is an army of students that actually skillfully handle these spades here in order to recover all the roots that we used in our experiments. Thank you very much.